Okay, I'm Jody Sinkrick. I've been presenting at the ARE for a number of years. First of all, welcome. We're going to do a little bit of a quiet 2 minutes. So let everybody close their eyes. And we're going to arrive. Take several deep breaths. And just listen to the breath as it flows into your body. Begin listening within. Okay. Okay, let's go ahead and begin. Open our eyes. I'm going to start today's presentation with a question for all of you. Edgar Cayce is very well known for his Earth Changes predictions. And I want to know what you've heard are the theories about why they didn't happen as he predicted. Do you know any of the theories that about why they didn't happen? Yes?
One of the theories is that the consciousness of the Earth has changed it with our thinking together and moving in a different direction.
Who'd you get that from? Okay. Okay. She said one of the theories is that the consciousness of the planet has changed and changed the predictions. Anybody else have any other theories?
Well, building on that, the twinkling of the eye came from Lord the Archangel Hallelujah, Lord of Karma. And of course, he's going to go repent when the end is near. Other efficacy readings said that as the consciousness changes, it would be gradual.
Other theories?
Prayer.
Free will to change. Bob?
He didn't know what he was talking about.
That is a theory as well. Yes. A lot of people feel like he was just playing wrong.
And he was just off on the timing.
Yes, off on the timing.
Free will.
A lot of these theories about why it didn't happen the way he predicted. And I'm going to start with the theory that has already been spoken for me. In the decades since he predicted, made his predictions, there's been a lot of work. There's been a lot of spiritual work through the decades. We saw a lot of it in the 70s, 80s, and 90s because it was getting a lot of good press. It's still going on. It's not always getting good press, but Deepak Chopra and many others are out there selling a lot of books, and so it's out there. Meditation has been a movement for many, many decades now, and all of this does change. And what it does, Edgar Cayce was on a timeline, and in the 1930s, whatever, whenever he read, we were on a timeline, and he stated that if all things stay the same, the timeline is going to happen as he predicted. Well, we, through our efforts, through raising the vibrations, through prayer, changing our inner character, meditation, all of this, as well as help from on the other side as well, we changed our timeline to a higher vibration timeline. And so a lot of the events that were destined to happen, and I'll use a little symbol here as far as the energy of destruction is, I'm going to symbolize as this. what happened is, instead of a massive amount of destructive events happening, in the process of raising the vibrations, in the same way that a tuning fork would affect other tuning forks, we changed the energy that was set to happen, set to manifest. The energy coming in from, well, where it's coming in from, it'd be hard to explain right now. Coming in from consciousness, mankind's consciousness, through eons of time being here on Earth, having created this energy, sometimes called karma, it's set to manifest. But in the raising of that vibration, some of that is healed, some of that is dissolved, some of that is balanced. And so the manifestation events become smaller. Sometimes even to the point that they're changed altogether. After I did a reading on 2001, and I've shared this with many of you, part of the reading was seeing Edgar Cayce do readings. That's actually in the Akashic Records too. Not only is the information there, but Edgar Cayce doing the reading is in the Akashic Records as well. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that was an event stored in the Akashic Records. It may not necessarily be on audio tape or video, but it's in the Akashic Records. So I saw that event after the World Trade Center attack, and I saw that this was the event that he saw for New York. He predicted it at this level of vibration. He predicted it to be an earthquake in New York. But because of the raising of vibrations, it became the Twin Towers. The amount of energy that was manifested, or that was meant to be manifest as destructive energy or destructive event, was diminished to the point where it was only two towers instead of the entire city of New York. It manifested in a different way as well. I mean, you can't really have an earthquake under one block, but the energy was still there, destined to be manifest. It hadn't been healed, and so it was coming in. It was going to find an avenue to do that, and there were enough souls who are still in that state of consciousness who are willing to create that destructive event. Interestingly enough, as I mentioned before, for one of the buildings to stay standing, it would have taken twice as many people through the decades to raise it even a little bit more, and for both buildings to stay standing, it would have taken five times as many people through the decades to be changing things spiritually. It would have taken that much more energy brought into the earth through the prayers, meditations, work that we've done in order to change that. So,
how did you know that?
It's all in the Akashic Records. It's all there,
okay,
including other timelines. The timelines are there as potential. If you read another timeline going this way, you'll see how that timeline could manifest as well. It's all there. Okay. Is this better? Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Since then, I did another reading, and in the second reading, I saw that the earth changes that were meant to manifest as changing the poles, the earth itself was being propped up as if on crutches. And so the energy... this energy also contributed to a change in the physical manifestations happening as earth changes, as Edgar Cayce had predicted it. There was changes there as well. However, because this was actually a huge amount of energy, I mean, it takes a huge amount of energy to shift the planet. There are still some amounts of events yet to manifest. Now, what we're seeing with regards to this, and again, in doing readings about this, again, what comes is this is the energy, and this is what Edgar Cayce was looking at. It's right there. It's almost as if. No, it is. It's how do I describe this? It's as if it's framed in a frame, saying this is the energy. This is what Edgar Cayce was looking at. This is now what's changed. So, for me, I'm absolutely positive that this is what Edgar Cayce was looking at, and this is one of the reasons why we're not seeing the predictions happening in the same way that he had predicted then. But what we see with the Earth changes is, is it's going to have to manifest in different ways, because there is still a little bit of, well, not a little, but there's a lot of energy yet to manifest. And so, in the mercy of God, I'll call it that, grace of God, whatever you want to call it, what we see is that energy, instead of one event, it being spread out over time. In the same way that if you take a tidal wave coming into a beach, it can all come at once, or it can all come slowly over time. And so basically it's a little bit easier to handle and deal with over time. And so that's one of the things we're seeing, events happening over time. In 2004, December 24, 2004, we had a tsunami hit Indonesia. It was a world event. The entire world knew about it very quickly. It changed a lot. In 2011, the Japanese event happened. Another tsunami, another earthquake, and this time a nuclear disaster as well. So, at that time, I started looking at well, no, I take this back. After the Indonesian event, I started taking a look at what else could, what was going to happen. And I saw three events manifesting. And these are what I'm calling 3 days of darkness. While other people may interpret it in other ways, I'm interpreting it this way. The first, what I saw at that time was one. At that time, I interpreted it as kind of like a book. I used the symbol of a book. An introduction to a book, and then three chapters of the book. The introduction being the Indonesian event, the Japanese event being the first chapter, and now we're at chapter two, and then we've got chapter three. In the same way that an introduction is a lot smaller than the chapters, the Indonesian event, even though it was massive, was really kind of secluded to that area, whereas the Japanese event spread radioactivity pretty much everywhere and rubbish all around the Pacific Island, and changed a number of different other things as well. The second event, the second day of darkness, is what I'm seeing this coming this summer, at the end of August, the second half of August, closer to the end of August. I've been seeing this for, 9 years now. And as time progressed, I was able to zoom in more and more and more, and about a year ago, I started putting it on the blog. And I started writing the articles, and as time gets closer and closer, I get more and more information, a lot more detailed information. So what I'm seeing this summer is the second day of darkness. The first day of darkness being for Japan and the Pacific coast, the west side of the Pacific Ocean. And if you think about it, it was absolutely a dark day for Japan. I mean, how else can you describe it? A lot of people are interpreting the dark days as three physical days happening all at once, being dark, like a volcano or a nuclear explosion or something like that. I'm not interpreting it those that way. I'm interpreting as 3 days that are going to be events to that level that are going to be just dark, symbolically, metaphorically, inwardly, emotionally, however you want to call it, dark for the people that have to go through it. This next one I'm seeing in August. I'm seeing it happening in the northern coast of South America, off the coast of Venezuela. I've been working on this for, like I said, to try to zoom in on what this is about, and this is what I posted online. I posted it all on the day after Christmas, so that people, because believe it or not, the day after Christmas is when I get more hits on my blog site than anything else. People typing into Google, predictions for 2015. And last year I got 25,000 people in one day on my blog site. This year I had those 25,000 spread out. So it was like in about 2 weeks' time period, I had about 12,000 people. It's interesting. I mean, it makes sense if you think the day after Christmas, what's on people's minds is, the new year and what's going to happen in the new year. And you know, type in the words predictions for 2015, you'll get, 10,000 websites. And mine just happened to be one of them. So, I go into a lot of details in it. The islands off the coast of Venezuela, I see being involved. I've been trying on my blog, website, it's a call for prayers. At this point, I can't see the event not happening. I mean, when I look at stuff like this, when I see this energy and I start zeroing in on what it is and trying to figure out, tune into it, I also take a look at, what's the chance of it not happening? And I've continuously looked through that to the point that, I've just stopped looking. It's not going to happen. And now the other side, I always leave open the chance that I'm crazy. I have to. I mean, if it doesn't happen, then I've screwed up royally. But I'm willing to take that chance. I mean, this is too much too big a problem for me to worry about how I look to people online or to y'all even. I don't care.
Yes. Are people that live in that area aware of what might happen?
If they're looking and asking, I'm not holding back as far as the information. There are some people that have contacted me and said, I'm from that area, what can we do? And basically what I tell them is, at this point, the process we can participate in is prayer, meditation, preparation. There's always a chance. I say that as a preamble, but
get off of the island.
Yeah, get off of the island. That's available to them as well. It's up to them if they believe it or not. You know, the same thing happens with hurricanes in Florida. You know, people stay and ride the hurricane out. Some people, the same thing happens with any natural disasters.
Do you see it as a hurricane?
I see it as a massive earthquake triggering a potential volcano and a tsunami combination.
How far inland do you see it going?
The tsunami going, I'm not seeing it going hundreds of miles. But as far as the earthquake going into going north and south, the tsunami going mostly south, but I think there will be some impact along the coast of the Gulf Coast. It's an event of this size cannot happen with it not spreading out But I think most of the spreading will go across the Atlantic.
Do you think it's going to be bigger than Japan?
I'm seeing a progression of the three events, and each one larger than the last. So I'm that's what I'm drawing upon, saying, yeah, it's going to be bigger. Because I also see it go across the Atlantic as well, going north. Most of the tsunami hitting south. And I'll go ahead and mention this, that our prayers and meditations for this event are going to help, because a lot of times people will take a look at these disasters and call them acts of God. Well, that's not where God is. God's not in the acts of destruction that's going on. God is in the response that we answer, how we respond. That's where God is. And the prayers can help the response to this. In Japan, we've heard reports of many of the crewmen that worked at the nuclear plants staying back to help save other lives. There's God in the response. Those that were sacrificing their lives so that they could get this under control so it didn't spread. There's where God is. In northern South America, yes, because the tsunami is just going to go up into the land, and.
And why there? Do you get why?
Yes, I do get why. Now the explanation is a little bit long, and I remember you had your hand raised, so don't worry, I'm going to come back to you. The why is this. Okay.
Is it the current government?
No, no. The why of this started millions of years ago. So a big part of this is natural. This is a natural formation. And it's part of the Earth's changes that's going on in the Earth. Hence, you know, that's part of it is this. There are natural Earth changes going on. And so some of this started millions of years ago in the geology of the region. Yes, there is some mankind contribution to this, but there's also some of mankind that's helped to remove it from here to here. So there's both of that. With regards to Venezuela itself, what we see is certain people who are born into a certain region in order to face certain challenges for their spiritual learning. And that sounds a little bit like Edgar Cayce would say, even. And what we have is those people that are going to be involved in this have that as their soul evolutionary, have it in their soul evolutionary path, which also means that those who respond have it in their social and soul evolutionary path as well. Does that make sense? So it's always up to, there's free will here as to how we respond to this. Even to those that are live in the region, it's free. They have free will as well. How they're going to respond to something? Are they, if they get word of this, and it's on the internet? If they get word of this, how will they respond to what they hear? Will they accept it? Will they do something about it? Will they prepare? Will they pray? Will they meditate? Or will they ignore all that and experience something that the people around Noah experienced? And, you know, I'm talking as if this is really going to happen. And I'm saying that simply because I've worked on this for so long, and I've worked on this, and I'm still seeing it. And I still sometimes just am incredibly amazed. How can this actually happen? How can this happen? We've never seen anything like this ever in our lifetime. How can it possibly happen? But yet, I take a look at it, and there it is. So, I'll know, and we will know at the end of August. In September, what I'm seeing is people responding. That's when I see responses happening, September.
And were you seeing some early warning signs?
Yes. Thank you for asking that. Yes, Joe, I will come back to you. I'm sorry. He had his hand up first, and I'm getting older. Yes, we will see signs in June and July. We'll see early warning signs. If this is going to happen, we will see signs in June and July. And there are, believe it or not, there are a couple of research ships. One was out there in that region just recently in this past year, looking at the volcano that's right there and seeing that it's, you know, it's active. It's doing some stuff. It's seeing how it's going. Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yes, yes. I sometimes wonder how could it possibly be this big, you know? And so through the years, it took me a long time for me to kind of whittle down what I was seeing, because I didn't really understand it either. I was thinking, okay, a nuclear bomb, was it, you know, a mountain being blown away? Is it, you know, how can a hurricane create this much destruction? You know, is it a volcano? No, it's not a volcano by itself. I don't like saying this. It's so much destruction that no one single event could answer to it. I looked at all this, and it was like, you know, it's like this. But here's an hurricane, here's an atomic bomb, you know, here's an earthquake, here's a tsunami, and nothing matched until I started seeing the combinations of those. I don't see it being any kind of atomic event at all.
No meteorite.
I'm not seeing any meteorite. Not that size. Not to create the entire thing by itself. No. I'm seeing it coming from underneath. Now, there are some predictions online that are saying meteorite is going to hit that area. But I'm not seeing that. What I am seeing is deep inside the earth, the fissures and cracks happening. And to such a degree that it creates a massive beginning. And from there, everything else comes.
It's called Yellowstone.
Yes, but Yellowstone is going to be quiet for a number of centuries yet. Yeah, so... Yes. Yeah. And this is just another area of the planet. Now, is it connected to the Japanese event and the Indonesian event? Of course, it's one planet. I mean, the planet's connected to itself. There's no way that any of these events cannot happen by themselves. You know, independent of the others.
What about the Haiti? Is that sort of a precursor?
Haiti.
Same area.
Yeah. Haiti was more on the surface. And so, I'm not seeing it triggering this other event, but rather because it's in that neighborhood. It was susceptible to happen as well, so it's more like it's in the same city of events, but it's across town. You know, it's not directly connected; it's just indirectly connected. We'll see. You know, in June and July, if they're going to have either volcanic activity or earthquake activity, which or both, we'll start seeing how it's going to be related, and then in August, what I'm seeing is a lot of quiet time there. I mean, it could go to the last minute of August before it happens. So, but I'm still seeing it in August, and I've seen it in August for a long time. Yes. Can I, Joe? What did you have?
Return pole shift is very vague. Is it magnetic?
The pole shift, yes. A lot of the predictions that Edgar Cayce gave were interpreted and understood to be physical poles, the north and south physical poles, we're going to be shifting. The Earth itself will tilt on its axis. And he also mentioned the magnetic poles as well, and those did start fluctuating more in 1958, as he described. If you go back into the U.S. Geological Survey maps and all the measurements of the magnetic poles, they started fluctuating a lot more in 1958, as Edgar Cayce had predicted. Meanwhile, what we're seeing also is some scientists are out there saying, having tested, done research on magnetic pole shifting, where the North Pole becomes the South Pole, the South Pole becomes the North Pole in the magnetic field. And there's a lot of evidence pointing to that as well. A lot of scientific evidence happening, and they don't necessarily know what kind of time frame, but they're seeing similarities today with what they found 700 and 900,000 years ago in the pole shifts that happened then. What they found was every 200,000 years, the magnetic pole would flip.
That affects the ionosphere, too.
It affects everything. It affects everything. Well, the last pole shift we had, they saw a pattern of 200,000 years. Every 200,000 years, it would happen. Until 700,000 years ago. And there hasn't been one for 700,000 years. Which is widely a very big gap. Because before that, it was every 200,000 years. And now we're at 700,000 years and there hasn't been one. So a lot of research is being done right now on potentially the magnetic poles shifting. And I looked at that as well, and I could see that potential is there. I don't see it happening necessarily in a two-week time span, but rather over several hundred years. I haven't done a lot of work on it, but that's how I see it so far.
With all of this come together with this climate change, and it's always changed, it's always going to have change and shifts and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So are we in that period now where the climate actually is changing no matter what we do?
Yeah. But it's not just, it's part of it as well. There are a bunch of different things. Mankind is one of many different sources of climate change, one of many different things. That mankind's influence is something we can do something about. That's something that we can do something about. We can, that we have control over. Mankind's participation in the climate change, we have some influence. Yes, it will. Yeah, absolutely. But there are other cycles going on at the same time, and a lot of them kind of lining up. I would say, in all honesty, looking at it psychically, the amount of influence that mankind's presence here and actions contribute is probably in the neighborhood of 30-40%, 20-40% maybe. The others are a number of different cycles that are happening as well, natural cycles, and again, magnetic field fluctuation, a number of different things. There were humans here. Oh, you mean back 700,000 years? Well, life was here. Life. Yeah, consciousness. Cro-Magnon man was here. You know, a lot of the humanoids were here. Yeah, life was here. And it did affect. Ice Age is another influence. The natural progression of ice ages as well. So there are a number of different processes that go on. And basically, is it all caused by mankind? No, but it's, you know, if you have a chair and you remove one of those legs, that chair, how many people are going to sit in that chair? You know, three-legged chairs are not that stable. So if you're wondering if mankind's influence is having an effect, yeah, of course it is. Everything's having an effect. It happened in different ways. And so natural events also have an effect.
So is this volcano going to put a lot of stuff into the air and change the...
I think, yeah. You can't have a volcano without a lot of stuff going in the air.
I know, but usually it makes it colder when it does that.
Yeah.
Like when what,
right.
Krakatoa?
Yeah.
Went.
Krakatoa, Yeah, and back in 1981 when the Mexico City volcano spewed ash into the air, and a lot of that came up here, and we felt that in Texas, ash falling on our cars and stuff. The strangest clouds I've ever seen were back in during that time. Yes?
Is this the same prediction that Dr. Hurtak of the Academy of Future Science predicted where the Gulf Coast is not going to be safe until you get near Dallas?
Yeah. Her question is, here.
Is this the same prediction that Dr. Hurtak of the Academy of Future Science predicted where the Gulf Coast is not going to be safe until you get almost near Dallas? That's the question.
Okay.
Same one.
I have not studied his material, so I haven't tuned into it. Has anybody else heard of Dr. Hurtak?
Of the Academy of Future Science.
Academy of Future Science.
That's not the one that I have heard of. It was the other one where the gentleman kept having dreams about flooding and so forth. Start with an S.
No, this gentleman is a scientist with a PhD.
Yeah, but this is someone else, is what I'm saying. But he did a map of how.
Oh, that's him. Yeah, he's. Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I'm not talking about him. Because he's like. That could not happen until, like, way in the future. This one is more towards what he's talking about.
I'm not seeing August's event affecting that far into the Texas coast. I'm not seeing it. In fact, I'm not seeing it being humanly fatal for the United States. Venezuela, yes, I'm afraid I am. But and some of the islands off the in the Caribbean, yes. But you know, Cuba is one of many islands that actually protects the Gulf Coast, United States Gulf Coast. So I'm seeing the water moving in inland some, but not being fatal to life and or to human life along the coast. So I'm not seeing it go in that far in, inland. Yeah, I don't see that. Yeah. It's possible that all the sirens along the coast will be going off and warning people away, but I'm not seeing it being
all the way
up to Dallas. I'm seeing it being an event along the coast that can be dealt with. People having time to move out of the way and moving inland,
like
and
hurricane.
right, like a hurricane.
But you are seeing it move across the Atlantic.
Yes. Well, I'm seeing it move across the Atlantic over the fall months. So that's not necessarily the water, but I think the effect, and I think what that is. And what I'm interpreting that is the ash and some of the possible debris. Because remember, that Gulf Stream goes across the Atlantic. And so it's going to be taking some of that with it.
And Cuba's going to be our protector?
Well, to some degree.
It's a barrier reef.
Right? It's a barrier. Yeah, so I see Cuba getting hit. I see a lot of the Caribbean islands getting hit. And of course, the coast of Puerto Rico. Yes.
Is this going to affect Chile because they're always having those bigger earthquakes there?
Interestingly enough, I am seeing a connection to Chile underground. I'm seeing a connection between that event in Venezuela and the events happening in Chile. I'm seeing.
Having those big ones, like nine.
Right.
but nobody right. ever says anything about it.
I'm seeing them be connected. I am seeing that, yes.
This is not a judgment sure. question, okay?
Okay.
But those people that are living there now, are they also then stabilizing their karma?
Well, are the people like in the region that's in danger? Are they stabilizing their karma? That's the question they have. The process of experiencing karma has a purpose, and that purpose is to raise vibrations, because karma more or less is a manifestation of a vibration at a certain level. It's created at that level, and it's going to manifest at that level. Like ripples going across the stream, that ripple eventually comes back to the source. And so, but it's at the same level. And so karma itself is set to happen at a certain level. You could even say it has its own DNA. Whatever DNA is used to create it is the DNA that it will manifest in. And so the purpose of experiences is to raise vibrations, whether inside of ourselves to go through it and seek God in the process of healing it, or seek God in the process of preventing it, which can happen, or seek God in the process of responding and helping after it happens. So the purpose of karma is always going to be to raise vibrations, go into the higher levels.
So certain people could have wanted to be born there to go through this.
Possibly. You know, we're going to, in any kind of experience like this, the natural process of living on this planet gives us a trillion different ways to die. And each of those ways is simply a soul's choice to then move on to the next, to the other side, so that we can continue learning, continue growing, come back again, do it again, keep learning, keep growing, raising our vibration all this time, as we're learning throughout this entire weekend, again, reminding us. And so, yeah, not only that, for them to go through, but for us to go through it. Here we are in Texas, and it is also for us maybe to observe it and to respond and help. I mean, we're not here just by accident either. We're here to meditate. We're here to raise the vibrations of the planet so that healing can happen on all levels, including physical levels. And we're accomplishing it. We're accomplishing a lot. Remember, the entire city of New York was not destroyed by those two airplanes. I mean, emotionally, it was a tremendous earthquake emotionally. But the city itself, it was reduced down. It was healed to that point. And that point, those two buildings then fell. And 3,000 people instead of 3 million people.
But the negative impact
has
been tremendous.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, how can you have this, all this energy coming back, flowing in that ripple back to its source, and not be devastated by it? You know, a lot of people were asking, where is God when something like this happens? You know, a lot of people were asking that. And that's also asking that in order to get an answer. And so if people don't ask that, they're not going to get an answer.
And it also brings us closer, right?
It does bring us closer. And what we do is we see response. And then people are getting their answers. Where's God? Is God real? Is he helping us there? Is he creating events like this? You know, and those that ask are going to get answered. They may not necessarily like the answer or accept it, but they're going to get an answer. Have I answered questions so far? Yes, Nancy.
I'd like to ask one about Fukushima.
Yes.
I've seen YouTube videos by Dana Durnford, 200 kilometers of the British Columbia coast that had 10,000 species, now have 4.
What?
A lot of damage has been done. A lot of people are saying the Pacific Ocean is dead. do you see some influence coming in and cleaning that up? Or is this an extinction type event?
This is a partial. There are some extinction events happening. We can't experience something like this and not have that happen. As the events happen, you know, and it doesn't take a natural disaster to cause extinctions. I mean, you're asking about mankind's influence. Well, mankind's influence is involved with extinguishing all kinds of species on the planet. Yes, a number we can name, you know, there are 10,000 extinct species that we can name. But at the same time, we also have the process of life continues. The process of creation continues. And those that adapt to the new are the ones that survive and keep on going. Vibration of the planet is raising. So those life forms that are adapting to this vibration are going to continue. We see that in humanity. Edgar Cayce talked about the fifth root race. Well, the end of this age is 2038. And the fifth root race is developing this century. It started this past one, and it's developing even more. It's not necessarily going to be the mass yet for several centuries, but as generations and generations continue, and as the blending of DNA continues, as the vibrations of those that are involved with life here blend with other vibrations of other people and other life forms here, as those tuning forks start blending together, the vibrations of the whole begins to raise. That's how the planet's vibration gets raised. Because we blend in, we're a chorus, a symphony of vibrations, raising these vibrations, and all around us that are hearing these and connecting with these vibrations are coming along with us. Remember, when you're driving a bus down the road with 40 or 50 passengers, there's only one driver. But all 40 or 50 are coming along for the ride. So we may be only 144,000. I'm pulling that out of there. But there are a lot of people, a lot of life on the planet that's coming along for the ride in order to participate in this evolution. And this is how evolution happens. The vibration of... We're bringing God's vibration into the planet. And this vibration affects everything all around us. We're bringing it into this three-dimensional plane. And this vibration, this higher vibration, manifesting in the three-dimensional plane through meditation, prayer, forgiveness, mercy, patience, kindness, love, through all these, manifesting all of these, bringing all of these into our lives, into our relationships, where what used to be, you know, frustration, anger, bitterness, prejudice, you know, violence, when we bring that higher vibration stuff in, kindness, like I said, forgiveness, etc., etc., we affect the entire planet. And so everything in that three-dimensional plane comes with it. Some kicking and screaming, but all of it there. And what we're seeing... Yes, go ahead. Okay, what we're seeing is free will, and what we're seeing in the planet right now with a lot of violence in the planet, a lot of continued destructive manifestation behavior, a lot of prejudice still, a lot of impatience, a lot of hatred, a lot of vengeance, a lot of that's still here. In the process of raising this vibration, it's like turning up the heat on the stove. Things are going to come to the surface. Things are going to boil over. This is not an opportunity to keep things down, hidden, undealt with. This is a time when things are going to get brought to the surface and be dealt with. Anything that's anything that's not dealt with has to be dealt with.
Is that why ISIS and Boko Haram?
Sure, sure.
That stuff going on in Libya too?
Yeah, that's why a lot of the violence happens. That's why it's violence that we haven't seen in a long, long time. You know, you could say that we saw that during the 1930s and 1940s in Nazi Germany and throughout Europe. And you have. But the other side of that is, you know, when you're dealing with illness, in this sense, it's consciousness, illness in consciousness, it's got to be brought forth in order to be healed. Okay, first.
And Tom Moore of Dallas has predicted that within 10 years there will be an unlivable ice age that envelops the Great Lakes all the way toward the north. Have you seen anything of that in that part of Chapter 3?
You mean besides what happened this winter?
Worse than what happened.
Okay. Okay, I'll talk. Yes. With regards to the worse than what I've seen this winter. Oh, watch out for that step there. I can see pockets of that. But I'm not going to call it an ice age in the same vein that we know of an ice age is just covering an entire continent.
It's inhabitable all around the Great Lakes and moving toward the north. Because the west, you're fine, but towards Buffalo, all that way is all. And he's saying completely, a mini ice age, completely uninhabitable.
I'm not going to go to that extreme. Because I don't see it. From what I'm gathering, from what he's saying, it being a mini ice age, uninhabitable area, I don't see that. I don't see it being that drastic. To me, that's drastic. I see it being,
like Boston.
I see it being like Alaska.
Could we even ask if it's changeable by consciousness
levels? Some degree.
And he was told no, that this is going to happen. It's already set in motion.
Oh yeah, yeah. A lot of it is set in motion, but mankind is adaptable. I mean, that's one of the messages that I want to bring here too, that we can respond to this in an intelligent, creative, appropriate, common sense, practical ways. We are adaptable, and we evolve as well. And it's not just. It's not just that we have to evolve in our DNA. It's evolve in our thinking, evolve in how we deal with social activities, evolve in how we relate to one another, how we rely on one another, commerce, economics. It's evolution in all these processes, adaptable in all these processes.
You said something about Alaska. What do you mean by
that? Well, you know, we think of Alaska as being really a tundra, and I see a lot of that area on the east coast along the Great Lakes being enveloped in a lot of cold weather, just like that area. Yeah. Instead of the Eskimos being in Alaska or northern Canada, they're going to move into Buffalo and that area. We'll have the polar bears down there. Not really, I'm kidding. They're going to bust them in. Yeah, yeah. It's going to be warm in Alaska. Hey, let's go to Boston.
All this is spoken with what you told. The correlation with all that going on and the vibrations. I thought I was loud enough.
Yep. Make sure it's on.
Can you hear me?
All right, so well, to talk about, is there any correlation, do you feel, I'm sure there is, but I mean, you better define what you think, with the number of spirits and souls that are sitting on this earth right now, more than any recorded history in time of history, has there been as many souls on earth, and the vibrations and so forth correlate with that?
Souls, yes. Human bodies, no. There has been times where souls have been on this planet, but not in human bodies. And that has, there's been more. There's been times when there's been greater souls, number of souls.
All this stuff going on, is there a purpose behind them being here at this very right. moment in time for the vibrations that are needed to...
Absolutely. Yes, his comment is there's a purpose for so many souls to be here right now. Yes, absolutely, because this is a very unique time. And as many souls as possible want to be here. In fact, we're at 7 billion now. We'll be at 8 billion within, let's see, probably the late 2020s. We'll be at 8.5 billion. I don't see us ever going to 9 billion. I see us topping out somewhere around 8.5 billion in the 2040s. I think there'll be a lot of change and thinking as far as bringing children into this world around the entire planet, and hence why then we'll top out at about 8.5, 8.6, 8.7, somewhere around there in the 2040s. And I don't see us ever going over 9. Maybe 8.9 at the most, but I don't see us going over 9. 9 billion people on the planet.
When you have that many souls on the earth, there's going to be, we already have this kind of, I guess you would call it, conflict with the species and all that going on. I mean, how can it withstand more?
Yeah, can you repeat the question?
I guess just with all the souls and that are on this earth right now, with all the conflict with the CCs and all the kind of things that are going across the, that you said was bubbling up.
Yes.
Well, how much more did you think we could take? Or they could take?
Hence the third day of darkness. Yeah. Right. The third day of darkness I see as being economic. Economic in nature. And it's not necessarily going to be a day, a single day. But it's a very, very difficult time period. And one of the reasons why I wrote what I did here, those of you who are going to be alive in the next 15 years, or your children or grandchildren, are going to see this.
In 15 years?
No.
2018,
I see it beginning in 2017, 2018. Now, remember the story of Joseph in Egypt. He came into power in Egypt because he interpreted the Pharaoh's dream. He said, told the Pharaoh there was going to be 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of want. And the Pharaoh believed him, and he put him in position to be able to help prepare for this. So they saved up for those 7 years, and they were able to face the going through those 7 years of want. Well, basically, that's what I see going on here. Our economy right now is good. It's relatively strong. I see it continuing to be strong. 2015, 2016, 2017, until pretty much the end of 2017, around November, December 2017 is when I start seeing problems surfacing, possibly even as early as October, but I think November and December people are going to start getting nervous and scared. And then I see 2018 being the other shoe drops at the beginning of 2018. And I see it lasting on through the 2020s. So
take your money out and put it in your mattress? or buy gold?
Yeah, well, what I suggest is find something that you feel comfortable with and go with that. Use your common sense. Use your dreams, your intuition, Pay attention to what other people are saying. Follow your guidance within. That is absolute. This is absolutely the time to do this. And all of us are used to this. All of us know. We know how to do this. All of us in this room know how to do this. How to listen to our guidance within. Listen to our intuition. Pay attention to our dreams. A lot of help is available to us through our dreams. A lot. A tremendous amount. I mean, we don't need to be convinced of this anymore. We know we have the experience here. So, we have already, and we've been working on the tools to be able to get the help that we need to face whatever times that are specifically personal to our own life, to how to make it through, and those that we come in contact with, whether family members, or friends, or our communities, we have now and increasingly more the tools of which to face this. And that's really the most important information that I would want to emphasize here. Not necessarily that these events are going to be happening down the way, but that we have what we need to be able to make it through this.
Is this a move toward one world currency?
I'm not saying that. Not right now in these generations. In the next 20 to 35 years. No, I'm not seeing it then. No. Remember, we're not talking about a century, 100 years. We're talking about the year 2000 to today is 15 years. We're talking about 2011. 2012 was 3 years ago. So we're talking about a short time span. We're pretty much going to all be alive in 2018. And a lot of us are going to still be alive on through the 2020s. And our family members, our kids, and their kids. And so what we involve ourselves in and share or invite others to be involved in, they will then, it's almost like teaching somebody else how to use a hammer and a saw and et cetera, et cetera.
But now we're Venezuela and Japan, we're sort of a localized phenomenon. What about,
well,
we're so interrelated?
Local only on the surface, remember, because the radioactivity spread around the planet.
Well, I'm talking the economic.
Well, the economic impact of Japan's spread to the United States as well. Yeah, and to China, and to the Philippines, and to Australia, and to the entire region of that area. I mean, Japan was economy. The problems that they had affected all the other areas around them. So, and remember these events that are happening deep in the Earth is also changing the planet. I mean, there was a wobble in the planet, and this one as well. It's going to affect the United States. It's going to affect Europe. It's going to affect, all over the Atlantic in indirect ways. Economic ways, food supplies, such like that.
So what's going to be is there one or several instrumental causes to cause this challenge in the economy?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have the specifics yet. I'm still working on that. And as the years continue, I will continue working on this. And I'll put it on the blog. Simply because it's going to be so impactful that there's no way I cannot see this and tell people about it. So I will continue to work on it, try to zoom in on what I'm seeing, try to interpret accurately as best I can. Now I will say this, I do the best I can at reading what I can, and if nothing happens this summer, then I've screwed up somewhere along the line. And I did that once. I did that once in 2006. I expected a hurricane to hit Texas Gulf Coast. And it didn't happen. And I know for certain I was right. Well, I had to go back and look at all my work that I'd done. Because I did a reading back in 2002 when I moved here. And I saw, I did a reading on my family's place down on the coast. And I saw one tropical storm and a hurricane hitting. One in 2002 and a hurricane in 2006. I was very clear about that. And the tropical storm, Faye, came through in 2002. And I rode that through. I was right in the middle of it. I had my double doors there, and water was being pushed through the doors, through the windows. I stayed up all night long. I was hearing cows. On my family's place, there were cows. Cows bellowing, water just flying sideways. I went through a tropical storm Faye. I went through the middle of it. Well, why didn't you come and take me with you? Yeah, they were okay. Cows, as long as they don't get stuck somewhere, they're okay. They're pretty tough. Well, what I wanted to mention was, come 2006, I was absolutely sure I was seeing that, and it didn't happen. And so I went back and looked at all that in the catastrophic records, everything. I looked at it psychically, and what I saw was this. In 2004, Hurricane Rita hit Louisiana. Katrina, I'm sorry. Yeah, thank you. Rita and Katrina both. Yes. Well, Katrina and Rita both. Yes. And there was such an outpouring of prayer across the nation. Millions of people were praying for the Gulf Coast. And what that did, what I saw was, I saw Christ standing over the entire Gulf Coast, protecting it throughout the entire 2006 hurricane season and half of 2007 hurricane season. So the Christ Spirit was just protecting the entire Gulf Coast.
Still doing it.
Still getting some prayers too. And it baffled all the meteorologists. It baffled everybody. Well, I knew why those hurricanes didn't manifest. Because the Christ Spirit was that strong from millions of people praying. And so I went back and I wrote that, and that's on the blog too. And I understood what happened. I kept going on this timeline, and this one had actually come into being.
Just for fun, Jody, do you think that on your site that you could do, like, you know, those crazy things that sometimes get people from?
I do a lot of crazy things
all over the world, where they collectively have put their heads together to support each other. Do you think that maybe you could get something where people can focus attention and prayer?
I already do. In fact, the next part of my presentation, I did a series of readings for the Ukraine. And a lot of people who were connected to that, they asked questions, and I put it on there. And one of the things I saw in the reading was that, you know, Putin was really intent on adding the Ukraine to to the collection there. I'm not going to talk about Putin that much because, you know, if you don't have something nice to say about somebody. But what I saw was that the people of Ukraine, if we can pray for them, it will create almost like a barrier preventing that invasion. I mean, it may still happen, but it will prevent the success of that happening. And the more prayers, the more we can create protection for the people of the Ukraine. It depends on prayer. And I saw the more prayer, the more he gets pushed back. So the less prayer, the more he has access to. And Putin is an old, old tribal king from way back. And so he still has that kind of mindset where he's king and all he sees is his own. And, you know, as Seth Meyers said on the other night, on the late night, not Ukraine, my crane. That's what he said. Yeah. And so that he's got that king kind of mindset where it all belongs to him. And whatever he sees is his. And so, but at the same time, that doesn't necessarily mean he gets what he wants. I see the more prayer, the more the people of Ukraine have strong strength. And that strength coming from spiritual sources as well. But it depends. You know, are we willing to pray as much as we can for them? And that's what they need. Yes. Yeah, there we go.
Do we need to be specific? In other words, I walk and I pray for each person, each soul on the planet. I send them light and love and peace. Is that enough?
Yeah. The energy of the prayers comes from our heart. It's not necessarily going to be the language we use or the words we use. The energy, because our energy is joined to others, and it is the collective energy that is the strength. So yes, that's specific enough, and because God knows what to do with our prayers, He just wants us to respond. And so, in whatever we can, by sending light, sending our own light, sending our own energy, praying, meditating, all of this adds to it. And that's our response. Because, again, responding in that way lifts the vibrations. The higher the vibrations, the less that low energy has an impact. Just like it's all tuning forks. All of it is tuning forks. The higher the tuning fork, the more impact it has on the lower tuning forks. Any other questions, real quick? Okay. Okay. let's see. We talked about weather earlier on. I wanted to mention that last year, of course, 2014 was one of the worst winters the United States has ever seen. This year is mild. Compared to last year, of course. I'm comparing it to last year, so I'm using the word mild. Next year is going to be worse than this year, but not as bad as last year. The year after that, we'll be back closer to about 2014. So what the East Coast is going to... East Coast is going to always going to get hit for the number of years. Sorry, Henry. But that's what I'm seeing. But here in the western United States, Midwest, Texas, next year is going to be worse than this year. The year after that is going to be worse again. And I mention it that this year because it's we need to prepare. We can deal with it if we prepare. If we're ready for it, if we know it's coming, we can deal with it. We'll deal with it.
We have rain this year.
Yeah, we have some rain this year. Right, right. I don't see Texas, as far as Texas is concerned, I don't see Texas being out of the drought for a long time. And yes, and it's mainly because we're not taking steps to change it. Mankind's influence, again, here I'll mention this. Some of you may have heard this before, it's on my blog as well. we're all familiar with the years and decades that the Amazon rainforest has been slowly been deforested. Millions of hectares, which is millions and millions of acres, millions and millions of acres of trees being cut down. Well, what effect does that have? What that affects is the trees actually act as a kind of buffer. The sun, the heat of the sun comes down, hits the trees, absorbs the heat. When you remove the trees, the sun hits the ground. The ground heats up, does not hold the heat, and escapes back into the atmosphere. The trees hold the heat. Very little heat is given off into the atmosphere. But the empty ground absorbs the heat, releases more into the atmosphere. Hence why it gets cold in the desert. Well, that has happened to such a great degree in South America that it has raised the temperature. It has put so much heat into the Atlantic Ocean that it has now pushed the hurricanes, it created more hurricanes, and pushed them up the East Coast. Instead of coming to the Gulf, have y'all noticed how few they are coming into the Gulf and how many are going up the East Coast? Well, that's the new normal. Because the high pressure zone in the southern area pushes them away, and the high pressure zone off the coast of South America pushes them up. So the East Coast of the United States is the hurricane channel now. Now, we still may get some, but it won't be like we used to do. It used to be this was Hurricane Alley. Well, now Hurricane Alley has changed because of the heat that has been put into the atmosphere over decades of destroying the Amazon rainforest. That is in the Akashic Records. That's where I got it.
How can we stop it if everybody knows this information?
Everybody doesn't know this information. And everybody doesn't believe this information. How can we stop that? Well, we could go out and plant a million trees.
Yeah, and see. And those trees are like thousands of years old.
Well, it doesn't necessarily matter how old the trees are. It just, what happens with the tree is that the tree absorbs the heat. The land doesn't. So the land itself is not heated up in the same way, and so it doesn't give off the heat in the same way like a desert does. So it's not necessarily the type of tree or the age of the tree, it's just trees. And who knew, we did, that trees would be the lifeblood of the planet. Duh. Yes, real quick, back in the back. What do I see for California? Oh, dear.
You're going to go off into the ocean?
No, California is not sliding off into the ocean. No. But I don't see a lot of relief from the drought. I mean, there's the same kind of massive tree loss in California as well. Forests and forests, you know, losing and losing and losing. And that just, it takes its toll. And so I don't see a lot of... I see intermittent years of some rain with regards to the water, but California is in dire straits, and I don't see relief from that anytime soon. Earthquakes, yes. In 2015, you know, let's see. I'm not going to go into details right now, but that would be a good one. Send that question to me, and I'll put it in the blog. Definitely, yeah. In fact, any other questions that I don't get to or you have, email me or contact me through the blog, and I welcome questions.
Please become a member of the Arbor Foundation. What they do is they, you know, grow trees, and they give you free trees to grow in your area.
Nice.
Okay? Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I don't necessarily think we could probably, if everybody in here planted 10 trees, that'd be, you know, 500 trees. But, you know, what we're talking about is, you know, when you lose 5 trillion trees. It's going to take some time to get those back. And take some time to rebalance the... Yeah, it is a start. It's absolute. One tree is a start. And one tree is worth it. I planted... When I was at Texas A&M in the 1980s, I planted about 25 acorns that I got off the A&M campus. And three of those survived, and we planted them at Markham, and they're big oak trees now.
I give mine, the ones that I can, to plant in my yard anymore, to the city of Katy.
Oh,
do they plant them? She gives them to the Parks Department in City of Katy.
So when you were talking about the drought in Texas, are you relating it to the Amazon, or are you talking about
yes.
We need to plant our own
yes.
trees too?
Yeah, one of the things we've seen in the United States is a whole lot of development. And what happens in the development is, you know, we need the houses, but the land is just clear cut.
Because it's easy.
Yeah.
And it destroys stuff with animals, too.
Right, it does. And so we our processes of expansion are hurting us. And so, you know, what else to say about that?
What about
okay, all right. How many questions have I got here?
The Texas drought, how long will it last?
I see it. I don't see it returning to where it was, but I see us kind of inching our way along as time goes. Now, the next 3 or 4 years here in Texas are going to be the water wars. You're going to see this in the newspapers. The water wars are here. They're starting. They're going to get worse.
ISIS.
ISIS, you'll probably, and as I mentioned this on my blog as well, you probably recognize some comparisons or some similarities between ISIS and the Nazi Germany. And that's partly because one of the things that we have to deal with as souls is what's inside of us. We have free will. And no one that, how are we going to say it? What God has brought together, mankind and free will, no one can put asunder. I'm just using those words in this way. No one can take away mankind's free will. So if we want to demonstrate hatred and vengeance, we have that free will to do it. If we want to demonstrate behavior that is destructive, we have the choice to do it. In the same vein, you know, but that's not where a lot of us want to go. So a lot of us on the other side work at cleaning stuff like that up. And it's going to affect those people that do this. And it will touch. I mean, those that we pray for are affected by God's energy more than those we don't pray for. And I will say this, in the passage of lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, the times and thousands of years, eons here on planet, those of us who create problems, who create messes on this earth, are now the ones responsible for cleaning that up and setting it right. Hitler is going to return and be instrumental in setting things right. The mess we create, we come back to help clean up. A lot of us were. I can tell you about mine. You want to? I can tell you about how I messed up things.
2 minutes,
okay, 2 minutes. In 2 minutes, I'll tell you all about how I messed up the world and how I tried to get some of it straight. Okay, well, I was part of the military in Atlantis. And so I went around. I was one of the ones that dropped bombs on Colorado. I dropped bombs in Colorado. And I was part of the military there. And two of the people that I killed are my two sisters right now. And so I took their life then. I've been instrumental in supporting their lives now. My little sister who lives in Kyle, San Marcos area, She and I have the best of relationship. My other sister that I killed lives an hour and a half away, and she and I have a great relationship now as well. And so those of us who help create the problems have the responsibility and the job now to help fix them. And all the messes I've helped create, let me tell you. But I'm very much involved in trying to change that. Okay. So, we're finishing up right now. And if you have more questions, either grab me here or email it to me or send it to me through the blog, because I'd love to get the answers or write the answers up on the blog as well. Okay. Thank you.